Like to, if the Lord lead our mind this evening for a while, I'd like to speak to you about the naked prophet. We're told in the book of Hebrews that reading 4 and 13 of Hebrews, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's an ominous statement. Mm-hmm. Let me say to you that as I've spent some time before the Lord now in several decades of life and reached the age that I am, I have seen a lot of things. And one of the things that is increasingly more evident as you stand before the Almighty God is you haven't got a whole lot to say for yourself. If we don't have the pleading of the Lord Jesus Christ on our side, if he's not our advocate, we're in the same position that David said that if thou markest iniquity, who can stand?
Yes.
One of the things that we do as people, as individuals, as Brother Ron has said, is that we do get thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. And many times the Lord God has said to us, that's enough. And he illustrates many times that we have so many references in the Old Testament with regard to how the Lord dealt with individuals of some significance as far as we're concerned. We read about Isaiah, and if you read the life of Isaiah, I wouldn't go up against the fellow. I mean, certainly he was a man that of great significance, and the Lord used him mightily. In fact, he's one of the individuals whom he says the Lord called him from his mother's womb. And yet, on an occasion, and I still don't understand the full significance of it, in the 20th chapter of Isaiah, we find him given a strange assignment. He is to take on sackcloth, funeral clothes, and to go forth among the people. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod, the stronghold of the Philistines, by the way. And he said, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from thy loin, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years, for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoner, and the Ethiopians captive, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. There was an occasion that Moses is recorded in the 32nd chapter of Exodus. We find there that Moses came down, he found the people naked. Mm-hmm. He found them bare. He found them in wantonness. Mm-hmm. Found them in circumstances in which they should not have been.
That's right.
Man wears his rank on his shoulder. He wears it in many ways. Clothes make the man, we're told in modern day. Well, if that's the case, where does this put Isaiah? How many of us would indeed like a dirge played every time we're among friends? How many of us would really want you to know who I am? How many of us would really want to bear ourselves figuratively and literally before our friends, and especially before mankind? There was a circumstance in which a certain army stripped, I've got the verse, but I can't find it in my mind, where they stripped these individuals and shamed them before their enemies.
Right.
The way you shame someone before their enemies or before mankind is you strip them of all authority, of all dignity, and you place them out there bare bones. God deals with his people sometimes openly. There's a question that I think is very interesting that was asked in the garden. We go to the third chapter of Genesis. We need to pick up on the latter part of the second chapter and into the third chapter of Genesis. In the second chapter, we're told that God pronounced a principle that is today extant. It is a truism of mankind. It's not good for man to be alone. And he made him a helpmate. It describes this in detail in the very last. It says, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed. Mm-hmm. Something happens, though, because over in the third chapter, they hide themselves from God. And the Lord says, where were you? I hid myself because I was naked. Here's the question. Who told you? How did you know that you were naked? Let me tell you something. I don't suppose there's anything more helpless than a baby born naked. Job identified that. Naked I came into this world. And naked I leave it. And everything in between is the dash between the dates on the tombstone. We have an almighty God that strips everything, and he is the one we deal with. He is the one before whom we stand. There is an appropriate dress. I think when you come to a church service, when you come to meet he that's greater than the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the entire world, we ought to dress appropriately. We ought to be on our best behavior. There's a time and place for everything, Solomon says.
Right.
I show up in court in a yellow blazer. Ask your son, where's that? Who's the son of the lawyer? I can't find him here. But Brother Heron here. But just ask your son what happens when he goes to court in a yellow blazer. He won't stand there long because he is dishonoring the court. There is a dress for us to stand before the bar of justice.
Yes.
And it is the robe of Christ.
Amen.
It is the white righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us understand what's happening in the world. Have you caught on yet? Have you forgotten the Crusades? Have you forgotten who was warring during the Crusades? Have you forgotten what the battles were about? They were about God, who God would put his blessings upon. Years ago, when I was a much younger man, I asked questions like this and had not any idea of what the answer was. But we ought to be thankful that we live in a land in which we truly don't expect anyone to come into that door with a rifle or with a machine gun. But what if someone did? You know, that was such a wry supposition in those days. Why, that never happened. Such folly. Look what's happening around the world today. Look what's happening to Christians around the world today. We're in a crisis. We are being asked by God Almighty, who are you?
That's right.
We're told that, you know, that we're not to put our trust into the arms of princes or in chariots or horses that run past. But we're to place our trust and our confidence in one who can deliver. Mm-hmm. I wonder how long that we as a nation stands naked before God, mm-hmm. naked of works of righteousness, mm-hmm. naked of anything that we can present on our own merit. How long can we live off what these old brethren did for us? How long can the reputation of the general practitioner physician be held up by the mighty works of the old general practitioner who was so beloved of the people that even today the word doctor has a great deal of respect because of what in times past men of dedication to the field of medicine gave their lives.
Right.
And so as time comes along, a great deal has changed in medicine. I think they've taken all of the incentives away. But how long will we honor doctor? Well, how about citizen of the United States? I wonder how much we are depending upon the reputation of the pioneers of this country, of the Bible Belt, of the morality of the nation past. And when does God, as one wit said, take account of, years ago we used to say it this way, but I'm almost like the, we were talking with a fellow that said he doesn't sin. Not only would I not have the nerve to say that, I wouldn't want to be standing beside him when he said
he got his.
That's right. You know, electricity has a way of jumping, you know. But God has a way of dealing with our pride, and this may be what has to happen to the United States of America, that we quit living off the past morality of the people past.
Amen.
I tell you, I tear up when I think of all the brave individuals that fought for these freedoms in World War II.
Amen.
But we have a generation that don't know who John Kennedy was.
Amen.
We have a generation that don't have any remembrance. You know, there was a time when the people were delivered of God and they were told to put stones up in the river and on the bank. And they were to, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? They were to tell them of the exploits and the deliverances of God that saved them from the depths of Egypt. When are we going to put some of those stones up and start telling them? We have an individual, Brother J. Westmoreland, member of our church, deacon, who as a 20-year-old landed on the beaches of Omaha. Let me tell you, I just can't stand in front of the man. Would I have that kind of nerve? I guess I would if God gave it.
Amen.
But I don't have it myself. There is a lesson to be learned how God deals with his people. There is a purpose in history. Hosea was a prophet. How would you like to have his assignment?
Yeah.
He was to go and find the ugliest old, may I just say the word, whore. Go and bring her out of that despicable state that she's in. He did. He went and got Gomer. And they had children. And Gomer went back from whence she had come. That wasn't, your job's not over. Hosea, you've got some more work to do. In the second chapter, it says, say ye unto your brethren, Amni, and to your sisters, Rahamah, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked. Do we have to be stripped naked? Is that what must come of us? Have we forgotten the exploits of morality past? Have we forgotten what has earned us the right to sit in this room unmolested by civil authority, to be able to live a peaceful life of brewing on the horizon? Is the Islamic purpose of stopping you from doing that? There is an enemy to the gospel like we have not seen for a very long time. In 1990, 91, I was against the Persian War. I spoke out. I said, we're just going over there for oil. And I was pretty vehement. I won't tell you what party I'm registered to. I try to stay away from some of those things, even admitting what I do for a living. I did hear on the way down here that some terrorists had taken a plane load of full of lawyers and made demands for multiple millions of dollars and told they're going to release one of those lawyers every hour until the demands are met. But we have something happened to this nation on 9/11, and something happened to me.
Yes.
I now recognize that I've been asleep. That indeed I have been looking to morality past. That I have been content and satisfied in many ways, and that's not good enough anymore.
Oh, amen.
I believe that we are in a world struggle.
Amen.
Not of armies, but of philosophies, of ideas.
Right.
And our God is almighty.
Amen.
And our God is able. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we don't know if he's willing. We can only know that from our past morality. That is, depending upon God, looking upon how he looked upon this nation in times past to continue that.
That's right.
Well, the good news about the story of Hosea is says that even though she had gone back down into her whoredoms, down into the putridness of her sin, God said, I will allure her. I will entice her. I will bring her back from that. She will call me Ishai, and I'll remove the word Baali from her lips. You know, Ishai means loving husband. And Baali means a stern master. And I will betroth myself to her, and she shall be my wife. You know, every heaven-born child of God arrives there without a single bit of clothing to hide his sins. Mm-hmm. He is as Joshua of old, stripping and place upon him the white robe. And we will stand there as sterling as the day of our birth, as unprotected, as vulnerable as we were on that day. Every species of animal can survive the moment it's born except man. Every species is programmed. Bird comes forth knowing how to make its kind of nest from the very get-go. Does not go to a university. Does not take any how-to training. It just does it. But a baby born naked is totally dependent upon us. I see a little child. I think, I look at that child's head and I think, mush. Wow. It's all's in there is potential. Well, we see God talking about his people in terms of nakedness, of terms of not having any works commendable for them. Every heaven-born child of God will get there, arrive with certainty because of one thing and one thing only. Because it pleased God to pull him out as an elect of his pleasure. Whether it be a baby or whether it be the 80-year-old deacon that has served us so well and bravely assaulted the Omaha Beach, as I mentioned, there to preserve the liberties which we have in this great country today. You know, there's a monument down the town in Oklahoma City that says the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. I just think that we have reached a crossroad. We can depend upon those things which do not work. We can depend upon the advice of counselors that are skilled in the ways of the world. May I say, Egypt. We indeed may think that we can elude that which God has for us by turning to the wisdom of man. But all of the history that is recorded to us throughout all the Old Testament shows that every time that that has been attempted, there has been abject failure on behalf of the ones who are trying to do it my way. There's a great signature song of I think it was a great singer, Frank Sinatra, but I don't think he was had much of a life. But his signature song was, "I Did It My Way." Let me tell you something, I'm hoping not to do it my way. I want to stand before God naked. I want to stand before God without a single work. When they open the books and read the merits of man, I pray that when it comes my turn, they reach for the book of life and read for my charges that which Jesus Christ has done for me. Amen. How foolish are the fathers of this land. How foolish are the leaders of this land to believe that we can, with manipulation of economic factors, with the storage of armaments, with the might of our mind, be able to influence the future, that we can bring prosperity upon ourselves. Yeah. Taking credit for the past prosperity, because every one running for office gives forth promises that it's going to be better and better as we go forth. Let me tell you, those promises are based upon hyping, based upon puffery, as Brother Ron has said. We'd better get smart. We'd better get wise. We better strip off our robes of righteousness, that the tattered leaves that were sewn together by Adam and his mate. And we better robe ourselves with Christ and on our knees, asking Almighty God to continue our prosperity, not because of any merit that we had, but because He has loved us and shown that love for us in the past. Let's take our punishment. We deserve it. Let me tell you, it makes no difference who the next president of the United States is, in my mind. Now, I understand there's a lot at stake, but it's not the prosperity of this country. What is at stake is who we are as a people. And we'll turn God not in Washington. We'll turn God in our way, to our families, to our communities, to our churches, upon our knees, as we petition Him, not with senatorial oratory or with the joining of unilateralism or multilateralism or whatever nations can concoct, but rather because we have the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Priest, the Prince of Peace, on our side. We'd better get on His side, hadn't we not?
Amen.
Fathers, I believe that bear a great deal of responsibility, having been made the spiritual head of their families, have simply laid them aside. Mothers, many a single mom has had to pick up and become husband of her family. Because of the lack, or many married ones for that matter, because of the lack of our responsibility.
That's right.
There's a movie called Dumb and Dumber. And let me tell you, it just seems like to me that we star in that movie before God's eyes, who strip us of all that we have, that we may plead before Him. There is one plea: guilty.
Right.
And we're happy to report such words as He gives us in Romans, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" That's our only hope. Our only hope is that Jesus Christ has taken that upon Himself, and that He'll turn as well to us individually, corporately as a nation, and say that it's not time for this nation to be ended. Not time for our prosperity. I don't speak just of economic prosperity. I mean prosperity in the real sense of the word. It's not time yet. Let's just pray for God's patience and deliverance. Thank you for your kind attention. It's been a pleasure to be with you.